Like to open up in a word of prayer before we read from God's word. Heavenly Father, we do call on the power of your Holy Spirit to come into this place and open our ears, our eyes, our hearts, and our minds. May we be blessed by the reading of your word, and may we respond to the conviction that you place upon our hearts through Christ who gives us strength. Amen. Our first scripture today comes from the Old Testament, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And whenever you pray, okay, thank you. So our second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. Jesus says this about prayer. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they know they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The model of prayer, talk to us for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We're in the second week of our church-wide study called A Disciple's Path, and today we're going to be talking about cultivating a relationship with God through prayer. Now, the Master has already taught us to pray, and so somebody gave me a sweat headband at the earlier service, and I thought, man, I might need that, because who wants to follow someone like Jesus? Well, I mean, we all want to follow someone like Jesus, but who wants to teach on something that he taught on, right? So as I was getting ready to prepare for this message, I was thinking, gosh, where do I start? And what came to me was, like, why not start with what isn't prayer? And so let's start there. What isn't prayer, or what prayer isn't? Prayer is not a magic trick by which we manipulate the power of God. And let me see if this illustration helps bring this point home. Last Tuesday night, we were over at the soccer field watching Anthony before his game, and the boys were out on the field having a good time practicing and warming up and stretching, and right next to us there was a mom, and she had two of her children with her. She had an older boy and then this darling, adorable 3-year-old girl. And she was just cute as a button, you know that age, right, where like they can do no wrong. Well, you'd think anyway. And so the mom was sitting there on her phone trying to connect with dad to kind of tell dad which soccer field they were at. And so in the midst of her struggle of trying to relay this message and give directions, the little adorable 3-year-old started coming up to mommy and saying, "Mommy, I want your phone. I want to play on your phone. Give me your phone. And mommy kept saying, "No, you can't have it. No, no." And then finally she said, "You know, if you don't stop, when daddy gets here, we're going to go home and I'm going to give you a bath and you're going to go straight to bed." Do you think that worked? Of course not. Better question is, do you think you could have done any better? No, of course not. We've all been there if we've had kids. Or we've all been there because we've all been a three-year-old at some point. But anyway, it didn't work for the three-year-old. So what did she do? She escalated. She went into a temper tantrum. Here she is stiffening up like this, screaming at the top of her lungs, "I want that phone, I want that phone," stomping her feet, stomping her feet. Guess what happened? She got the phone. You know, prayer isn't a magic trick to try to manipulate God, because God is a much better parent than we are, right? God would be okay with us making a fool of ourselves in front of other people, whereas we can tend to be embarrassed. So anything to avoid that confrontation, right? So prayer is not a magic trick in which we manipulate God, nor is it a way to negotiate with God. Have you ever prayed the if-then prayer? If-then? You know, like, use this example. God, if you would give me the winning lottery ticket numbers, I would start tithing. Anybody ever pray that? Well, you know what the if-then pray is. It's a way to negotiate. Like, if you do this for me, God, then I will respond in kind. And what's so wrong with that prayer style is the fact that God's already done everything for us. So how can we ever think to order God around like that, to challenge him in that way? Nor is prayer like ordering up God to be a vending machine. Have you ever prayed like that? Like, Lord, just give me a front row parking spot at South Park Mall. Or please, Lord, get the slowpoke out of my way. You ever pray like that? One of my all-time favorite movies is Bruce Almighty. And there's a scene in there where Bruce wakes up in the morning after having all the powers of God bestowed upon him, and he has to get to work. And so he goes out to his car, and he forgets all about wrecking the car the night before. And so he gets to this junk pile, really, and he's like, "Oh, Lord. Oh, that's right, I have these powers. Give me a new car." And boom, the pile of junk disappears, and before him is like a Lamborghini or something. And he gets in it, and he's going downtown, and all of a sudden he runs into parking lot traffic, kind of traffic you find on a Friday night going to an Indians game where five lanes are converging to one, and everybody's just stopped. You know what I mean? Have you ever been there? Are we the only ones? Okay, I'm going to take it by your lack of working with me here that you do get it. Bruce is behind the wheel of the car, and he simply remembers that he's God, so he goes like this. In the movie, the traffic just parts ways like the Red Sea, and he's able to get to work on time, right? God is not a vending machine like that. God isn't sitting there for when we have exact change like a vending machine would, in order to dispense our desires. No. However, I would probably go out on a limb here and say that there are some prayers where I think we're all in agreement that God should respond to. Like this one. That's a fair prayer. Come on, Lord. I just saw that last week downtown Strongsville, and I was like, well, is that a red light? And I had to take a hope the guy wasn't thinking I was stalking him or anything, but, well, that's good. You know, the wisdom to think about that and the bravery to follow through with that. I bet you he goes down the road and gets all kinds of people honking at him, whether for or against, or Steeler fans or Browns fans. But those are prayers that, like we all want God to order up like a vending machine. But those are the things that prayer isn't, okay? So let's talk about, based on the model that Jesus is teaching today, what prayer is and where it begins. So in the opening line, prayer opens with adoration. And it's taught, Jesus teaches us that the very first thing that we should be doing is honoring God, paying honor to God. That means, I want you to think about that for a moment. Think about a God who has created the heavens and the earth and everything around us. Think about how God has blessed us. Think about all that he has done for us. Think about a God who is willing to lower himself to the point of coming to his created order and taking on human flesh and then giving of himself to the extent of death on a cross. The very first words out of our mouth should be some way to honor a God who has created all of this and given so much for us. I don't think there's enough words in the English language that actually could honor God enough. And I understand that that can be hard, especially if you grew up in a home that was full of criticism and sarcasm. It's rough. You don't know how to pay a compliment. I get that. But it's a work in progress. And when you've been touched by the love and grace of God, you can start to understand God is worth our adoration. Adoration. That next step in after paying honor to God is surrender, I believe. And surrender can be, I know a lot of people in this church and a lot of people in general struggle with surrender because it's a giving up of control. Share a story with you about a young couple that his prayer was, fix my wife. And things had gotten pretty bad as marriage goes. And finally, the wife says, you know, we just need to go see a counselor and work this thing out. And the husband said, yep, I'm with you. I am all over it. I will make the appointment. Because you see, he had an agenda. He formulated a plan in his head to present to the counselor to point out all the flaws of his wife so that they could work together as a team to fix his wife. And so he went all excited that first visit, and a half hour into the session, he said, oh, time out. The counselor was like, what's the matter? Well, it seems like every time we start to make progress and we talk about, her problem, this conversation comes back to me, like I'm doing something wrong. Why do we keep focusing on me? You know, surrender is part of that realization that, hey, we have a stake in the game. It may be more 70-30 than 50-50 or 30-70. You follow me? Am I making sense here? Please nod, I will. Okay, good. Thank you. I hope I didn't give away too much of my story there. Anyway, surrender. Surrender, and once you've come to the point of being able to surrender yourself to the presence of God, that can lead to beautiful supplication because you're realizing there's more at stake than just a petty desire or some trying to change somebody else. Supplication. You know that Jesus prefaced that prayer teaching with these words. God knows what you need even before you ask. And when we go through these steps, we can actually get to a place where God is really hearing us because our supplications are starting to align up with what he already knows. Supplication, turning our prayers inward for the sake of allowing God to change in us what needs to be changed, which leads to confession. Confession. Allowing God or giving up to God what needs to change in us leads to the confession and the Spirit talking to us. And I think the best example of confession is the parable Jesus taught about the Pharisee and the tax collector. They're in worship like you are today, and the Pharisee's in the back row. He's in the balcony. He's looking down on everybody, and he's saying, "Man, I'm glad I'm not like that. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't steal. I'm good. I even give my 10%. Man, I'm awesome. I know the Bible. I got it all up in here. I know the right answers to the right questions." And Jesus then turns his attention to the tax collector, and he says the tax collector's down in front, ashamed to even look up at the altar or the communion table, beating his breast, saying, "Lord, have mercy on a sinner like me. I lie, I cheat, I steal. I don't pay my taxes. I just collect other people's. I don't even give you anything." And here's the twist. Jesus says, "Who do you think the righteous one is? The one who was made right with God that day. It wasn't the Pharisee. It was the tax collector." Confession does the body good. It does the soul good. We confess where we have missed the mark or the will of God. And after we've done this, I believe prayer transforms into a commitment to follow. And the best example I can give you of the commitment to follow through prayer is Jesus on the night he was betrayed. He and his posse went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he set his guys down and he says, "Look, I need you guys to keep watch. I need you to pray for me because I got to go take care of some business." And he goes over and he models what he's taught. He starts out honoring God for who God is. And then he goes into surrendering his will and confessing that he doesn't have the strength without God. In fact, he even goes to the point and says, if it was up to me, I'd let this cup pass. But not my will be done, but yours. Did you know he did that 3 times? He prayed that prayer. He goes back to the guys, finds them asleep, gets agitated, wakes them up, and says, "Come on." Goes back and does it again. 3 times he does that until he has the strength to commit to following God's will. That is what prayer can lead to. And finally, it leads to supplication. "Lord, give me the strength to allow my will to bend to yours." Jesus, who died on the cross, who modeled the way, who taught us how to teach, who then modeled it for us, became the Savior of the world. And he invites us to what I believe prayer truly is. The primary purpose of prayer is to develop an intimate relationship with God so that we can become agents of God's saving purpose in this world. Jesus already saves the world, but he says this: if you wish to inherit the kingdom of heaven, pick up your cross and follow me. I give you the tools, and I'll show you how to do it. So I end this message today with this invitation. I invite you to pray the Lord's Prayer with me. Maybe a little bit different, or maybe for the first time, or maybe you're not ready to, understanding what it could lead to. But if you are, here goes. Pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.